Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds with Bible Truth for Living. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Maybe you're listening by radio on a Sunday morning, or you're catching the podcast sometime during the week. We sure appreciate you taking the time out to listen, and I really appreciate those who also pray for and support us financially. The only way we can have a radio ministry and a podcast ministry is the faithful support of God's people, and we thank you for that. If you appreciate the Word of God being preached and taught on the radio and on podcast and would like to partner with us, a gift of any amount goes directly back to the ministry. You can write to us at Bible Truth for Living, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864, and we appreciate your support. Before the message, I want to remind you about something we have coming up in just a couple of months, and that will be our prayer walk at the Mount Vernon City Park, Saturday, June the 22nd. We're going to meet at 10 a.m. at the North Shelter that's on 26th and Logan Street. From there, we're encouraging folks to walk the perimeter of the park, whether you do this as couples or maybe a group of four or more. You can come individually and join a group, or come as a church group, come as a family. We will have prayer lists available. And just as you walk the perimeter of the park, pray. We're going to be praying for our city leaders, our county leaders, our country leaders, our church leaders, as we ask God to, forgive our land and to seek direction, and just an overall day of prayer while you get a little physical exercise as well. And there will be free hot dogs and chips and snacks and bottled water, so we'll take care of that. We just want to encourage you to come out and join us. So mark your calendar for Saturday, June the 22nd at 10 a.m. at the Mount Vernon City Park. Hope you can join us. Today I'm preaching on the topic of mustard seed faith. I'm reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "And the apostles," this would be the 12 who followed the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his ministry, "the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree," we know that better as a sycamore tree. You know, remember the story of Lazarus climbing the sycamore tree? He says, "You might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." A businessman had to travel to a small town for a meeting and invited his young wife to come with him. And she was very excited about the trip. He told her, we'll do some shopping and we'll eat at some places. And she was all excited until she learned her husband was going to be flown to this small town in a twin-engine Cessna plane. Now, I have never been in one of those, but I understand they're a pretty tight fit. It's a small plane. And the wife said to her husband, "Honey, I've decided not to go." He said, "Wait, why? Why not?" And she said, "Well, I'm not going on a little bitty twin-engine Cessna plane. I'm just not going to get on that and do it." And her husband smiled and said, "Well, honey, your faith is just too small." And she said, "No, my faith is fine. It's the plane that's too small." Now, that's a cute little story, but sometimes that's the truth, isn't it? We blame it on whatever the instrument is rather than on our faith. When you think about it, we utilize faith every day. You get in your car and drive, you're exercising faith that you'll get from point A to point B. Nowadays, you're really exercising faith, aren't you, when you drive a car? And from a human perspective, faith seems to match the situation. Getting in a car and driving somewhere seems much easier than trusting a pilot and getting on a plane and flying somewhere, although statistically we know that it's safer to fly than it is to drive. But we do that. We put faith. You know, when you go to church, I have never seen anybody come in and stop and stoop down and look under the pew to see if the legs are sturdy enough to hold them. They just come in and sit down. Why? Well, they're trusting. They're putting their faith in that pew that it's going to hold them up. We exercise faith all the time. But today, what I'd like to do is look at faith from a biblical perspective. Jesus is telling his apostles and telling us that much can be accomplished with just a small measure of faith. So let's talk about that. First of all, I want to share some common misconceptions about faith. I believe that faith is possibly one of the most misunderstood and even abused doctrines of the Bible. When we talk about faith, what are we not talking about? Well, first of all, faith is not magic. We're not talking about magic here. Jesus says in verse 6, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and planted in the sea. He says something similar in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. He says to his disciples, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, Jesus is not talking about casting trees and mountains into the sea with some kind of magical mind power. You know, there would really be no even reason for that. Now, he's illustrating a point here as far as exercising our faith, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want you to know that faith is not some magical potion, magic thing that we do. Something else that faith is not manipulation. Now, the health and wealth gospel preachers, you might call them name it, claim it crowd, they put emphasis on the word say. You know, Jesus says, say to the tree or say to the mountain, be moved. And therefore, God is under some sort of obligation to move what we have said. They will take verses out of context, like the power of life is in the tongue. Well, this is true, and we also know God spoke the worlds into existence. But it's a very dangerous theology to believe that we say something and we can manipulate God and he's under some type of obligation to fulfill what we have said. You know, we're even warned about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Here's a good scripture for all of us to follow. Be not rash with thy mouth. You know, we worry about skin rashes. Sometimes we have a mouth with that's rash. It's too quick to speak. It says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Now, those are some words of wisdom. So, faith is not magic. Faith is not manipulation. You can't manipulate God or make God be obligated to what we say. And then the third thing is, faith is not manifestation. Now, that term manifestation is a New Age term for really the Old Age practice of visualization. If you have not heard of manifestation, I'm telling you, your children, your grandchildren have. It's a very popular movement today, especially within the realm of the New Age movement. It is used by professional athletes and entertainers. What is manifestation? Well, self-help gurus use this same thing. It is telling yourself, if you'll just paint a mind picture of what you want. And maybe you set the mood in the room. You put on some meditation music. Yoga is part of this. Maybe some flowing water, some crystals, and these sort of things. And you really meditate on what it is you want to be successful at, whether it's making a free throw or hitting a ball or performing in front of an audience or whatever it is, whatever you want to be successful at. If you'll just paint a mind picture and you'll have these positive vibes and you manifest, you can bring it to pass. I'm telling you, it is grounded in Eastern philosophy, false religion, and mysticism. It also can open a person up to the occult. When you open your mind up and you begin to visualize, rather than meditating on God's word and asking God for help and God to give you some wisdom and insight, and then, you know, I think of this, you'd be much better off spend some time, if you want to be a better ball player, you know, let's say you want to hit free throws, be like Larry Bird and shoot 500 free throws a day rather than sitting around visualizing it or manifesting it. These things are not faith. That's not to be even messed with. And so I want us to know there are some common misconceptions of faith, and faith is not magic, faith is not manipulation, and faith is not manifestation. Now let's turn and look at some measures of faith. Now, back in our text of Luke chapter 17, I think we need to set the context of what's going on. Jesus begins this chapter teaching his disciples about forgiveness. He says in verse 4, he says, if someone trespasses against you 7 times in a day, that's quite a few. You know, I've been done wrong once in a day, maybe twice, but 7 times. He says, if you've been trespassed against 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day that person turns again to you and says, I'm sorry, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Kids sometimes do this, raising children, you know, many times they'll say, I'm sorry. And you'll hear, I'm sorry 10 times a day. And eventually you just say, listen, I'd rather you do right rather than keep being sorry. You know, just do the right thing. But he says, Jesus says, now, if someone does you wrong 7 times in a day and 7 times they say, I'm sorry, I repent, we are to forgive them. And that is why in verse 5, they say, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, this is not a natural response to being done wrong. This is something that's going to take some faith. Not only forgiveness, but I have to have an increase of faith in order to forgive that way. Now, here's the problem, and it is that word increase. Like many of us, the disciples thought faith was quantitative or quantity-based, how much faith they had or the size of their faith. And Jesus wants them to know it's not about the quantity of faith. Faith is to be qualitative, that is, quality-based, or based on strength, not size. You see, the Lord wants us to exercise the faith that we have. They said, Lord, increase our faith, and really their statement should have been, Lord, improve our faith. You know, people will say, well, let's say you pray for someone to be healed and they're not healed. They pass away. Well, you didn't have enough faith for someone to be healed. They are looking at faith as something that is a quantity. You know, you have to have more of it. No, we are to be concerned about the strength of our faith. They thought more faith, more fuel, more feats. Jesus says, no, it's not about the quantity, how much faith, but he says it's about the quality. Now, he uses the small, insignificant mustard seed to illustrate strength over size. And this is where this is sometimes taken out of context. Jesus doesn't say if you had faith as big as a grain of mustard seed or as small as a grain of mustard seed. He just says if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. What do we know about seed? Seed has potential. Seed will grow. As a seed is planted into the soil and it gets some water and gets some sunshine, it begins to grow. And see, that's what happens with our faith. When we exercise our faith, when we use our faith, we then begin to improve the faith that we have. I believe each of us have been given a measure of faith. The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Faith is also one of the gifts of the Spirit. Some people have more faith than others, all right? But we don't need to concern ourselves with, boy, I wish I had the faith that so-and-so has. No, use the faith that you have. When you use that faith, God then begins to grow that faith that we have, much like a seed grows. Now, let's give these apostles some credit. At least they recognize their weakness. At least they say, Lord, increase our faith. You know, some people have no interest in even doing any better. You know, I'm just glad I'm going to heaven and that's it. No, they recognize their weakness. They believe Jesus. These are men who heard all the teachings, saw the miracles, and yet they struggled with faith. Now, if they struggled with faith, walking the earth with Jesus, well, then I think we're in pretty good company when sometimes we struggle with faith. I do. I don't care how long you've been saved. There are times you don't know how things are going to work out, and you're trying to do your best to trust the Lord, but sometimes we get fearful, and we don't have the faith we should have. Well, the disciples were the same way. Let me give you some examples. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. They hear the disciples and Jesus, they get on a ship, and the Bible says, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. Now, here's Jesus sleeping through the storm, and here the disciples are stressing through the storm. And his disciples came to him and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, they were on board with the creator of the winds and the waves. And yet, in this time of storms, they begin to be fearful. And they go to Jesus, and Jesus says, you have little faith. Here's another one in Matthew 14 and verse 25. Matthew 14:25. The Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, let's give Peter credit. 11 other men never stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of the boat. And here he is. His eyes are on Jesus, and he begins to walk on the water. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He got his eyes off of Jesus and back on the storm. Instead of looking at the Savior, he looks at the sea. And now the Bible says he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, we do that many times, don't we? And we get to the end of our rope and we've tried to figure everything out. And then we say, Lord, help me out here. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, here Peter was again. He had little faith because he got his eyes on the problems and on the circumstances. One more, Matthew chapter 17. Verses 19 and 20, the disciples had tried to cast a demon out of a young man and were unable to do it. The Bible says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now, it wasn't that they didn't believe in Jesus. It was that they weren't exercising the faith they were given. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, excuse me, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Reminding us again that it's not just by magic, by the words. They thought they could just use their faith, say some things, and that would work. Jesus said you need to accompany that with some prayer and fasting. The point is that every one of us, from the disciples of Jesus' day to us as disciples now, we struggle in this area of faith. Now, I believe there are three measures, or three, what you might call stages or levels of faith, and we're going to look at these three as we look at the rest of this message. First of all, I believe faith begins with a knowledge of God. We must have a knowledge of God in order to have faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that's where faith begins. We hear the word of God, and then that's where faith comes from. That's the source of our faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Now, if you don't have the knowledge of God, you're going to place your faith in something else. And many people do that. They put their faith or their confidence in many things. People put faith in money. You know, in America, our money says, in God we trust. But, you know, for the majority of people, it's in money we trust. And so they think, if I have more money, then I'll be set. Everything will be good. Only to find out money does not bring contentment and happiness and satisfaction. Others say, well, a career. If I get settled in a career, they put faith in that. Some people put faith in an education. So they'll spend years getting a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctorate degree. And there's nothing wrong with the degrees, but I want you to know you can get a PhD and still that's what you put your faith in, but it's not going to do you any good when death comes. And it's not going to do you any good when tough times in life come around. Others say exercise. I'll put faith in exercise and take care of my physical body. But this body is going to get sick and eventually die. Foolishly, some people put faith in politicians and political parties, you know, and so that's where their faith is. If we get this person in office or that party is in control, all of these things will eventually fail you. All right. So faith begins with a knowledge of God. That's the first step. The second step then is not only a knowledge of God, but then it is a belief in God. Did you know that the only thing that pleases God is faith? God is not even pleased with your morality. God isn't pleased with your religious performance. God is pleased with faith. The Bible says it, Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. All right. Now listen to the rest of this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So it begins with the knowledge of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then faith, as we begin to exercise that faith, faith then says, well, you must believe that God is. Now, wait a minute. When we talk about belief, there are actually two types of belief. All right. Only one of them will save us. The first kind of belief in God is head belief. Many people have that. I promise you, if you go to Walmart, take a clipboard and a piece of paper and a pencil and ask people as they come out, do you believe in God? I bet you 90% or more will say, yes, I believe in God. Now, God can be anything to people. People can make a God out of a little Buddha statue, or they can make a God out of the sun, or just anything. I think the biggest God in America today is materialism, our money and our stuff. But you say, do you believe in God? Most people will say that. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But you know that even the demons in hell, the demons, the fallen angels, they believe in God as well. Yeah. The book of James says that, James chapter 2 and verse 19. Says, thou believest that there is one God? Well, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That tells me that they're smarter than most people, because not only do they believe in God, but they're fearful of God. They believe and tremble. People today aren't even fearful of God, and it's the fear of God that's the beginning of wisdom. But there's a head belief in God. Now, head belief in God will not save you, all right? That's just knowing about God. There's a knowledge of God and then having a head belief in God. But it is this heart belief that brings salvation. It is a heart belief in God that causes one to be saved. Again, we're going to go back to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And the Bible talks about this heart belief. Here it is. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, not your head, but believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you had a true heart conversion? It's not just about knowing about God and belief in the head, it's belief in the heart. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, that's the second level. I want to take us lastly to the third level, or third measure of faith. I believe this level of faith is developed over time as we walk with the Lord. And this faith is actually produced through our troubles and trials and temptations, because it would be those things that cause us to spiritually mature. And this third level moves from just a knowledge of God and belief in God to trust in God. What is trust? Trust is a total, complete dependence upon God in spite of what the situation looks like or what the circumstances seem to be. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, we trust in ourselves and we want to do the leading, and then we want to invite God on board with going our direction. No, God needs to be the one out front leading, and we're following his lead. Again, he will direct your paths. Now, Abraham understood this principle. He trusted God. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 21 refer to the promised child that he and Sarah would have. Verse 19 of Romans 4, being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, referring to its incapability of producing seed to have a child, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 90. It's not normal for 90-year-old women to carry a baby to term and have a baby. But verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. That is trusting in God when you're 100 years old, haven't had that baby yet, and yet believing it's going to happen. I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the truth, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Not just what, but whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so both Abraham and Paul not only believed in God, but they trusted in God. Now, here's the thing. There will come a time in your life, it may be a financial problem, it may be a family problem, a health issue, when all you can do is trust in God. There will be times when you don't have an answer, you've exhausted your resources, you have nowhere else to turn, and that's when you learn to just simply trust in God. You know, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I told our congregation about a story I read about a farming community where they had not received rain for a long time. It was the middle of summer. They were having a drought. So all the religious people decided they would have a prayer meeting on the square. They all came out and some brought Bibles, some brought crosses, some brought beads and all their trinkets, and they prayed. And boy, for an hour they prayed, "God, send the rain. We need the rain. We're desperate." Nothing happened. The next day, a little boy who had attended the prayer meeting the day before came. He came to the town square and he simply prays, "Oh God, please send the rain. Show everyone your power. Amen." And the clouds begin to roll in, it got dark, it begins to thunder, and here comes the rain. I mean, it just started pouring down. Now, what did the little boy bring that all the religious people didn't bring? The little boy brought an umbrella. They were trusting in all their religious trinkets and their things, their symbols, and they were trusting in that. And the little boy, he came with an umbrella, just trusting that God would bring the rain. That's what trust is. And so may we trust God whenever the times get difficult. And as we do that, I'm telling you, you just grow a little bit more, and you grow a little bit more, and you learn to only trust him, as the song says, only trust him. That is true in regards to salvation, and it's also true to our daily walk with the Lord. Well, thank you so much for listening today. It's always a joy to be with you, and I look forward to being with you at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.